St. George's number one station with Washington County's top talk show, The Andy Griffin Show, on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Supposed to be playing your music right now, Jack. I don't know what's going on
finding
here.
A subtly sweet
well, I guess they decided to play some commercials, so I'm going to turn it off. Anyway, welcome to
And Andy, are you and I family?
We are family. That's kind of weird. I'm like, okay, play the
That's
video.
That's kind of fun. I like that song. We are family.
I don't know what that is. Pure energy and I don't know. Welcome to the program. It's been it's been like nine days or ten
days. It's a Monday,
since
isn't
I've
it?
Done a show. So let's see if this is this it now.
There we go. You found it.
Yeah, Jack's Music Information Society. What's on your mind is the name of the song. I want to know what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the program. I'm Andy Griffin here, 10 minutes after 9 o'clock, and joining me is semi-regular. I guess you're a regular guest, but a semi-weekly.
Yeah, semi-weekly.
I guess.
Bi-weekly?
Jack Lancaster. Bi-weekly, is that every twice a week, or is that
I think that's every other week.
No, that's semi-weekly. It's every other week. Bi-weekly is twice a week.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Thanks for tuning in today, folks, Andy and Jack, and a little information society in the back.
All right.
Do you remember all the words of this, Jack? Was this the song you were into back in the day?
It takes me back to the 90s when I was living in Las Vegas.
Really?
Yeah.
What were you doing down there?
I was working for an independent TV station, Channel 21.
Really?
Yeah.
Channel
21. Doing sales.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good job.
That yeah, it was okay.
Yeah. When did you come back to St. George?
I moved down in 89. And moved back in 93.
Okay.
But I was down there. What's funny is I was single. I was about 26 years old, 25, 26, 27.
So you were a menace to society.
I was a menace to society. I absolutely was. I worked at it very hard. But what's funny is my sisters lived up here, and one of my sisters had a basement that was empty, and so she'd let me crash up here. So every Friday I'd pack my bags when I went to work and come up to St. George and spend the weekend up here, and then leave or get up early Monday morning, go home, and go back to Vegas and go to work.
Back to work.
Yeah, I didn't really like the Vegas lifestyle, even though I was a single guy.
I got to be careful because I have good friends who are from Las Vegas. I hate Las Vegas.
I'm not a huge fan. Yeah. You know, there are things to do down there that's fun. You know, I like going to the shows and the concerts. You know, and I did then. It was funny though. I had a roommate who was also from St. George at the time. And we shared a two-bedroom, two-bath apartment down off West Charleston.
Okay.
And it was funny because all my friends would call me and say, hey, can I crash in your front room? We're all coming to Vegas. Like every other weekend, I had friends from Salt Lake or wherever. They wanted to go to Vegas. And
you were the original VRBO.
I was the guy. So that was the weekend I stayed in Vegas and, you know, did the thing. So
if they wanted to crash, I think the only requirement would be whatever you're doing, take me along, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So I was thinking, I was asking you about lyrics. I was thinking, how many songs could you sing or could I sing that you know every word to? Like if it played, you wouldn't need a karaoke machine because you could sing. And I think there might be two or three in my whole life that I could
do. Probably about 10.
Word for word. Exactly. Yeah. You know, one of them is Give Me Three Steps by Lynyrd Skynyrd.
You're kidding.
No, I know that song by
heart.
Really? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Not Sweet Home Alabama.
I was cutting a rug at a place called The Jug with a girl named Linda Lou. Yeah, I could go there. I really could. So
some great lyrics. Those
I mean,
guys.
There are a lot of songs we know most of the words to. Like,
yeah,
you know, you could do, but there's very few that I know every single word and where it goes.
It's different when you try to remember it without the music playing.
That's true.
And then knowing all the words,
mm-hmm.
or. When the song plays, you can
it prompts you.
It prompts you. Yeah,
that's true.
So,
there's only a couple. This is kind of stupid to some people, but I think it was kind of cool. There was a video game called Rock Band back in the 90s, maybe early 2000s. And every Tuesday, my wife would work late because she was a court clerk. She worked the court. So every Tuesday, me and my three sons would get together. We would plug in all the instruments and the microphones and everything, and we would be a rock band for about three or four hours every Tuesday afternoon and evening.
Yeah.
And that was... That was actually a really memorable time of life, just playing in a band with my son. Now, it wasn't a real band, and they weren't real instruments, but they were real microphones, and the instruments did take a certain amount of skill to be able to play them. And and my one son, Dallas, became a pro. If you put it on pro level, that means that you're playing the actual what the people in the band would play. He was a drummer, and he put it on pro level. He had the cymbal, he had the whole set.
Oh wow!
And was really good at it.
Wow!
And my other son, Bryce. So I actually bought the game thinking I would get, because I'm a closet rock. I wanted to be a rock star, you know.
Yeah.
And that I would be the singer, the lead singer.
Well, I want to hear your voice.
I sing a little bit.
Let's hear that, man.
But the problem was my one son could not figure out how to play the guitar very well.
Yeah.
And so he became a de facto. He became the singer because I could play the guitar too on this game, and so my son, Bryce, was the lead singer.
Uh-huh.
And he got really good at it, but I was still a little bit unhappy with him for a while because I wanted to be the guy singing. Yeah. It all worked out, though.
That could be a radio poll for our listening audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which song can you sing start to finish?
Every word.
Yeah, every word.
There aren't even church hymns. You need kind of some prompts. You know, you get the third and fourth verse of a hymn, and you're like, I don't know that anymore. So, there aren't very many. Of course, we could all do the Star Spangled Banner. Probably most of us.
The first verse, anyway.
Yeah, well, that's true. No,
what about verse two and three?
Nobody's gonna know. I couldn't tell you. Do you know the words to the second and third verse?
They read like scripture in my mind.
Do they?
Yeah, they kind of do, and I don't. But I do know that there's a video of a Marine or somebody who's a veteran, and who was singing the song a cappella really, really well, and he sang the second and third verse.
Wow!
At an event,
and he wasn't holding cue cards or anything.
No, he knew it. Yeah,
impressive.
And one of those things where you're just like,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
great transition, a great segue to the Marine that I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Now, it's been almost 2 weeks now, but a guy was acting erratically. He was threatening people. We don't. There is video of what he was doing, but not. They haven't released that to the public. He may have attacked some people. He may not have. But a Marine on this subway grabbed the guy and put him in a chokehold to get him, stop him from acting the way he was acting. And some people said the guy that was acting erratically was mentally ill, whatever the case. Unfortunately, the guy that was in the chokehold ended up dying.
Mm-hmm.
Sad situation. But right now, the liberal media is trying very hard to make this Marine who put the guy in a chokehold, make it a racist incident. A white Marine, a black street artist, whatever. And they're calling the white Marine a racist, and they're saying all these things about this poor guy who all he did was, it seems to me, and maybe you have a different opinion of this, it seems to me he was just trying to defend the people on that subway car. Any thoughts?
The thing is the DA over there did not arrest him until the protests were mm-hmm. going strong,
right.
Which tells me it's political. Because the police didn't arrest him when the train came into the thing and everybody got off, everybody was congratulating the man on protecting him. It wasn't just him alone. There was two other guys that were helping to subdue this guy. So there's that. And to think about if a district attorney is going to do something politically because of protests, then that just opens up a whole can of worms as to what, you know, hey, if I protest loud enough and if I scream and holler hard enough,
right,
my emotions are more important than the facts.
Right.
And
it kind of invalidates the legal system.
Because I know that every person of a certain color must be a racist and every other person of a certain other color must be a victim. I don't know.
Hmm.
It doesn't make sense because makes me sad.
Here's a story from The Wire today. The man charged in the New York City subway chokehold death of a homeless African-American man is addressing criticism that it was racially motivated. NBC's Emily Akeda has more details on Daniel Penny from his interview with the New York Post. Check this out. Well, of course, as soon as I need it to play, it's dead. Let's try it one more time. It won't even go back. That's kind of weird. All right, let's try this. Basically, he said, look, I did what I felt was in the safety of everyone on the subway. He said, I did my best to protect people. Yeah, I saw a man who was being aggressive toward helpless right. people like women and children.
Right.
And I did what I thought was right. And now I'm being, well, first of all, charged more than anything.
Why was this man allowed to roam the subways? Why was this man, from what I understand, he has a history of violent encounters. He had punched a lady in the face. Mm-hmm. He had attempted the kidnapping of a child. And 80-something arrests over his lifetime something like that. And I'm just wondering, why is this guy allowed to go out there and harass people?
Well, and to continue that, why is then a Marine who attempted to restrain him when he was having another one of his episodes, as they say, why is he being charged?
So I guess we're supposed to, and if you're going to, so now the lesson is this. If you're in New York City and someone is threatening a subway car, you're supposed to sit and let it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the old Han Solo, who shot first in the bar in Tatooine, you know? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter, in my mind. This guy was clearly, even if he hadn't actually assaulted anyone yet because he was threatening and acting really crazy.
Didn't he say something that he could go to jail or he could die and it wouldn't matter? I mean, he was saying some comments about he was okay to spend the rest of his life in prison or something like that. There was some kind of comments he made that made it sound like he was about to do something life-threatening.
Yeah.
That was reported.
Well, we're going to leave it at that as the story develops. Until we see the video of what he was really doing, I don't think it's fair of us to make any kind of judgment.
Was the guy intentionally trying to kill him? The Marine?
No.
No.
No. He was trying to.
Now, there's a chokehold you can do where if you cut off the blood flow to the head, it knocks you out.
Right.
And it doesn't, you know, kill you. And there's a certain way to do it. There's a certain way to do it wrong and a certain way to do it right. But didn't they put him in a recovery position?
Yes, they did.
They put him in a recovery position, and he died on the way to the hospital.
Hmm. Let's change topics real quick. I had an interesting conversation with one of the heads of the Utah High School Activities Association in between games and stuff when I was up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't use this guy's name, but he's one of the associate directors of the UHSAA. Mm-hmm. And we asked him, what would you say is the number one issue facing UHSA right now? And he said, it's the transgender thing.
Hmm.
And we were like, really? I didn't think it was that. I mean, I figured there were one or two or whatever. And he said, I want you to listen very carefully because I'm going to lay it out for you. He said, there are currently 15 transgender athletes attempting to compete in Utah high school activities. Sports. We're not talking about drama and all that. So we're talking about sports.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, amazingly, there are three of them that are girls transitioning to boys and trying to play on the boys teams.
Hmm.
But 12 of the 15 are boys who are trying to transition to girls who are competing on those teams.
Mm-hmm.
He told me one story about the first group I was talking about. He said there's a girl at a school in the Salt Lake area who wanted to. She's transitioning to be a boy. She's trying to be a transgender boy from a girl. She's a biological. She was born biologically as a girl. He said there are a couple of issues here. First of all, she is a larger female to male, so she has a large chest. He said so. When school ended, she was a girl. Over the summer, she started taking the hormones to transition to a boy. But
how old is she?
Teenager, 16.
That's legal?
Well.
To prescribe hormone blockers to a 16-year-old?
And
that's a minor.
Right. So
they can't get a tattoo without parents' permission.
That's right. So let me finish the story.
Sorry.
So, no, it's okay. Because she's a larger girl, she has a large chest.
Mm-hmm.
None of the people she goes to school and was on the swim team with had seen her over the summer. So when tryouts came in the fall for the swim team, she wanted to try out for the boys team. So she showed up to tryouts, how do I put this delicately? Well, wearing a boy's swimsuit, which covers just, you know, the bottom.
Topless?
Yeah, topless. A large girl.
With female breasts?
With large female breasts, showed up topless at the tryout, topless, at the boys' tryout. Now,
how'd that go?
Not well, as you might imagine.
That was where?
That was, well, it was in the Salt Lake Valley. I can't tell you which school, but it was a school in the Salt Lake Valley. And okay. This girl transitioning to a boy, or trying to, showed up in a boy Speedo, topless Speedo. It caused quite a stir at the tryouts. The coach shut down the tryouts and said, we're not going to do this right now.
Good for him.
And it's gone to the courts now, with the parents of this girl guy saying she has the right to, I don't even know what to call him anymore, has the right to try out for the boys team. And now, we had a law passed last April in Utah. It was the Utah Congress overriding a veto by the governor to ban transgender athletes in the state of Utah. A judge in the Utah Supreme Court ruled that you can't do that, that it's a violation of civil rights. And so as it stands right now, the law will let transitioning boys, girls, whatever you want, play in any gender that they feel like that they identify as. So
how come this stuff never come around until 5 years ago? Hmm. How come all of a sudden it's a thing?
I don't know.
I'm just asking. Why is this a thing that we have to live with here? Have you ever heard of mass psychosis?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And there's episodes...
Mob think kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, mass psychosis. This is, I think, our generation's mass psychosis.
Hmm.
Because, number one, you've got people who are confused, and I feel sorry for those people that they're confused. Number two, you got people willing to play into the psychosis.
Enable
it.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, you got people who are willing to just look the other way. Okay? And you got some people who are willing to stand up and say, wait, there's something wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we doing this? It reminds me of the children's story of the emperor has no clothes.
Aha! Ooh, good you analogy. Give us your analogy.
Well, it's the emperor was always a fashionista,
mm-hmm.
and he could never get enough of the finest clothes. So he finally, the tailors were so exasperated that they convinced him that the new clothing was so fine and you know, perfect that it was invisible, but it looked really good on the emperor. And they convinced the whole town that when he paraded through the town naked, that he was actually wearing the most finest, wonderful clothing. But nobody was willing to say what really was going on, is that the emperor was wearing no clothes, except for a small child who said, how come he's walking around with no clothes on?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it took a child to actually point out the obvious. And the obvious was that there's actually something wrong here.
Wow.
And that was a story that I heard as a child.
Yeah.
Where, you know, people can go along with mob think, if you will. If enough people go along with it, then people are just kind of, you know. There's a couple of examples of that, even in, recent history of, one group of people telling the population of their country that another group of people are less than human.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happened more than once in our country, or in our world. And it's happened in this country, in the slavery issue. It's happened in Germany, and the World War II issue. This probably happened a dozen other examples.
Vietnam, yeah, there are so many different...
Cambodia, that a group or a race of people are less than human. So, you know, what I mean to say is that people can be convinced of the most ridiculous things if the rest of the population tends to go along with it in the popular culture, and if that's what the leaders are telling you, you know.
Right.
So the emperor has no clothes, so he's going to say, well, hey, you know, you got to look at this beautiful set of clothing I got on, you know, and everybody, oh, it's fine, you know. And,
yeah. I have a nephew who is married to a girl from Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
She is from and I don't know all the words. I think Ibong or something like that is the tribe that she is from. It's sort of an indigenous people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the enlightened people of Malaysia treat the Ibong as less than people. They're not to be regarded. I mean, you don't even acknowledge them if you see them on the street. They are non-people.
Yeah.
And that everyone's like, well, we're enlightened now. Civil rights have come. And you know what? It's still happening all over the world.
And so what I think, you know, this conversation back to the kids that are in sports, you know, they need to be helped. I cannot. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, our country, our civilization, our culture is going through some kind of mind virus or something going on. And I don't think it's just limited to this transgender topic. I think there's a lot of different things when you look at it, that there's a huge mental health problem going mm-hmm. on right now. And this is one of the symptoms. Another symptom may be the homelessness you see in the big cities.
Right.
That's certainly a symptom of mental illness. What about another system of these mass shootings that are going on once a week now? You know, certainly that person who's going into a shopping mall and just lighting people up is not healthy in the mind.
Right.
There's something going on. And until we address this bigger issue, until we can actually learn, I don't know why we cannot. The political powers don't seem to want to address the core problems. And that, to me, is another thing that's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, have the courage to address the core problem here. Not every person, not every kid. I mean, Andy, you grew up, you're in the sports growing up, right?
Yeah, big time. Yep.
Did you make every team you tried out for?
No. Heavens no. In fact, I remember clearly when I got cut my senior year from the basketball team, it hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I played first string football, little league, all the way through junior varsity. When varsity hit, I had stopped growing as a sophomore in high school. Hmm. When varsity hit, I wasn't one of the biggest guys anymore, and I didn't play first string versus varsity. I made the team, but I didn't make the traveling team. And so it wasn't any fun.
No.
I didn't make the basketball team. I tried out, but I didn't make it. You don't make every team. And so it never occurred to me, well, I'm going to try out for the girls' team so I can play.
Probably would have made that team.
So we think about it.
Yeah.
So if you're going to try out for the girls' team and you're a guy because you think you can make it, what else is going on in your mind?
Yeah, it's messed up. It's messed up. And sometimes we need to, you know, like the little kid in the parade, in the emperor's clothes,
uh-huh.
we need to point out he has no clothes on.
But the kid needs to be told no once in a while.
Yeah.
No, you're not a young, you're not a boy, you're a girl.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's sad.
It is sad.
I have a lot of compassion for these kids. I don't have compassion a lot for their parents. I don't know. But I'm not in their shoes. So I'm not gonna try and judge because I don't know the whole story. But I do know that there is a point where a responsible parent is going to say, no, you're not going to walk topless onto that platform and go try out.
Right.
There's something wrong with that.
Definitely. All right. Got a commercial break coming up. We're going to check in with weather. Jack Lancaster on the show today. We'll be right back.
Compelling guests, hot topics, the latest news. Always on the Andy Griffin Show.
Is there a juicy part in it for me?
Right here on News Radio 890. 92.5. KDXU. Southern Utah's news talk leader.
I want to know what you're thinking. There are some things you can't hide.
Good morning, everybody. 9:37 on KDXU. And that song means that Jack Lancaster is here today. Welcome to the program.
It's got a good vibe.
Yeah, it does. Pure energy. It's coming here.
Pure energy.
There we go. Spock, right?
Yes.
Welcome to the show. Andy and Jack, we were talking a little bit about transgender athletes competing in the other gender sport, or maybe they're, I don't know what you're calling it. Anyway, one of the arguments that Governor Cox, in vetoing the transgender ban, he vetoed it. He said, well, we're talking about just three athletes in Utah. This whole, he said it's a tempest in a teapot. A big deal about three athletes. We need to just let them do their thing.
So if those three athletes, let's say they're males competing on female teams, mm-hmm. and they're placing in a high place, first, second, or third, or whatever, mm-hmm. is that fair to the female who got bumped at the bottom of that?
Not at all.
Is that fair to the other females on the team that have to observe the biological male changing in front of them in the locker room?
Let me tell you about a girl.
I'm wondering about that.
Snow Canyon sophomore. Her name is Amelia.
Where's the compassion for those kids?
Her name is Amelia Nadald. This past weekend at the state 4A track and field championships. Amelia won the 100 meters, the 200 meters, and the 400 meters, as well as the long jump. Her time of 12.13 seconds in the 100 meters was the fourth best girls' time in the state this spring. How would she have done against the boys? She wouldn't have been in the top 10.
Again, not everybody makes the team.
Amelia is a 10th grader who is excelling. She is incredibly fast. Her mom was an All-American track athlete at BYU. And so she's a person who, without weird hanky gender changing or anything like that, she's just a young lady who is a good athlete and deserves to win races because she's fast.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you, if one of those guys that finished in the top 10 in boys track decides he wants to be a girl next year,
mm-hmm.
Amelia's not going to win those races.
Yeah.
And that's not fair.
What about scholarship money for those girls?
Yeah. It's,
what about Title IX? Where is that at?
I don't know how it all fits in, because the thing that has been surprising to me, Jack, is all these women's rights groups, right? Women, Title IX, women deserve, you know, as right. much money as boys when it comes to scholarships. And we had to, there was a point in college sports where you had to have as many female scholarships as you did male scholarships,
right.
which was a hardship on some universities because the football program takes up to, you know, 70 scholarships. And so
sure.
you had to find two or three women's sports just to make it even number-wise. And yet, as we get to this trans athlete thing and guys wanting to pretend they're girls and compete in girls' sports, where are all those groups that were, you know, for women's rights? Women are women, and we deserve to be recognized as women. Where are they?
I think there's going to be a backlash here pretty soon. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard of the athlete Riley Gaines that's mm-hmm. been speaking out against trans athletes on these subjects.
Yeah.
I think she was competing against Leah Thomas and got knocked down a space or two on
the
swim.
She finished second. He was. Yeah. He was.
He's got junk.
Yeah.
So that's a guy.
Yeah.
And like what the season before he was swimming on the men's team.
Yeah, and it was, you know, what the one of the word.
The narcissism is yeah. astonishing, yeah. and again the mental illness. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I'm going to root for Riley Gaines and Amelia Nadald and
yeah.
and all the naturally born biological females.
Then what's going to happen in the next Olympics?
Well, and Cox saying it was only three athletes. It's actually much more than that. There were 15 this year. And
I don't think the amount matters.
There's going to be more and more.
I think
more
it's the principle that matters, mm-hmm. Governor Cox. It's the principle that matters. Who's looking out for the young women who are trying to better to make their lives have something? These young girls that are working very hard to compare. Isn't sports all about fairness?
Should be. Yeah.
Isn't fairness a big deal
that's
in sports?
It's built
isn't
in.
Isn't that way we put referees on teams, you know, to make sure it's fair?
Yeah.
Call strikes and fouls, strikes and balls.
Mm-hmm. It's not
Where's
fair.
The fairness in that?
Yeah.
Just asking. And what's fair to these kids that don't get a chance to move up the rung? To move up the ladder,
get a scholarship.
To develop out.
Yeah.
Not even that, just to have the experience.
Yeah.
If you don't make the team.
If you want to call and talk with Jack or myself, it's 673-5890. If you would like to text on the program, I actually probably have a couple of texts. I haven't even looked. Yeah, I do have a couple of texts.
Okay.
You can text me at 435-467-5842. I will scramble with my phone to get that text. Let's see. To answer the question about the Olympics, I heard that the Olympic Committee did put their foot down and will not recognize cross-gender athletes.
Good for them.
Olympic Committee, that's good. But, you know, to me,
think about the weightlifting.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't New Zealand put up a male weightlifter in the female category last Olympics?
Do you remember the controversy in the 80s about how
the East Germans?
The USSR and the East Germans were
yeah.
doping?
Yeah.
Yeah. And their women look like men.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
we have men who are saying they're women.
Yeah.
The heck with taking steroids and looking like a man. They are men.
It's like that South Park. Do you watch that South Park
no,
cartoon?
Not into that one.
When
no,
we
no.
get off the air, I'll show it to you.
Okay. it's just astonishing sometimes to think about the bastion of conservative. To me, the most conservative state in America is Utah.
Mm.
And it should be because of the basis of our conservative values, both religiously but otherwise as well. This is a conservative state. And so for Governor Cox to say, well, no, we're not going to pass this. I'm going to veto it, even though my Congress pass this law by a huge majority, I'm going to veto it because I know better than all of them, mm-hmm. because I'm the governor. And then
that Supreme Court justice?
Yeah, and the Supreme Court justice going in there and saying, yeah, we need to...
What was his name?
Kelly was his last name. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Should we make him famous?
Yeah.
Let's see if I can...
Now, what did the Supreme Court justice do?
He
struck down the override of the legislature?
He found
that it was not constitutional for schools to not allow biological males to compete with biological females.
Right, and I'm trying to find his exact name. I don't have it right in front of me, but right.
So in other words, we've got a Utah Supreme Court justice that's on that side too. And again, who's looking out for the girls that are getting bumped out on these things?
Nobody.
I'm just wondering.
Yeah, nobody. I wish I could find that. I'll have to get my research team, which is me, okay. to figure that out maybe during the next commercial break. Coming up, we're going to take a quick break. Coming up, we're going to talk about a new edict, I don't know if edict is the right, warning from the World Health Organization.
Okay.
Last time we checked on the WHO, they were telling us we all had to wear masks everywhere,
yep.
and get jabbed, and we couldn't touch other people, and we couldn't go see grandma. And now they're saying, hey, okay, COVID's kind of off the front burner now. Let's do this. Let's make climate change.
In other words, they're looking for relevance now?
Yes, they are. Okay. Let's make climate change our number one issue. And the WHO tells us if we don't do something about it soon, we're all going to die.
Okay.
We'll take a commercial break. Be right back. I can see behind your eyes. 949 on KDXU. If you're going to make your call today, now is the time. 673-5890. We're talking a little bit about transgender athletes and the fact that Utah, according to a high-ranking UHSAA official, and by the way, Jack is with me today, Jack Lancaster.
Good morning.
Thus the music. There are 15 current in this year, the 2022-23 athletic school year, 15 transgender athletes trying to, transition and make their way onto sports teams. 12 of the 15 are guys trying to play on girls' teams.
Uh-huh.
3 of them were actually girls trying to play on guys' teams, including the one aforementioned large-breasted female who uh-huh. said she was a boy and showed up for swim practice, or tryouts rather, with just a Speedo on the bottom, nothing on mm-hmm. top. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking about what would you do. First of all, think back in time. If you're a guy, think back in time to when you were 16. If a girl showed up to tryouts without a shirt on, what would you do?
I would look a lot.
Guys are stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would probably stare a lot.
Uh-huh. And what would you do if you were that guy's parents? Not the transitioning guy, but one of the other.
Yeah, I'd be calling the police.
Yeah,
for why are they? You know, why is the school sanctioning? This. I don't know. There's got to be a law here that's breaking that. It's a problem.
Here's the text. Welcome back, Andy. Our state is barely conservative at this point. Our governor is certainly not.
Right.
Neither was his predecessor, wolves in sheep's clothing. Many were running as Republicans act as though they are plants from the other side. The party is contaminated, and the people in Utah, we have a history of being too trusting and easy to fool.
I think that's changing. I agree with that text. We have been very trusting, and I tend to be trusting. But I think that's changing now, because the more you see someone like Governor Cox going against what the vast majority of us consider common sense.
Yeah.
They just reveal themselves. So I'll put it that way.
This is a stupid thing to me, but to some, but to me it's important. Governor Spencer Cox, when he was running, came on this show often, once a week, every 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
While he was stumping, while he was, trying to get elected. One of the things I said to him, right here, he was sitting right where you're sitting.
Yeah,
I said, "Well, Governor Cox, one thing I got to ask you. I've heard that politicians, when they're trying to get elected, will do any radio show, once they're elected, we'll never do a radio show. I said, you're not going to do that. He sat there right in your chair and said, oh, no, I'm going to keep doing your, I'll do your show once a week or once a month, whatever you want me to do, I will do your show.
How many times has he done your show?
He's been on once in a year and a half now.
Has he only been governor a year and a half?
Yeah.
Seems longer. It's been a little more than that, right?
January of 2022. He was elected in November of 21.
No. Are you sure?
I don't know.
It just feels like it was. Utah was the off year, wasn't it?
Maybe.
I think he's up. Well, I don't know. We're going to have this debate on the air instead of trying to understand it.
Another person texted and said, the squeaky wheel gets a grease. More of us need to protest. And that, I think that's one of the things we're running into right now, is that we have a lot of us who feel this way, but we are, in fact, a little bit nervous about maybe sticking out, about protesting a little bit. Let's go to Richard on line one.
2024, Richard. He's up for re-election.
Okay, Richard, what's going on?
Sorry, man.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Okay, I've been thinking in my pea brain. Through the years, you know, back in the 70s, 80s, we had the bra burners and the feminists.
Yeah.
And we got all the traction, or they got all the traction they could out of that, seemed like. Then lately, it's for the kids. And we've seen how they treat the kids.
Yep.
So this is the next bunch of useful idiots, I think, this transgender.
Yeah.
You know, and they're seeing what division they can get through this country, because that's all it is. It seems like, you know, let's divide this country for one more issue, you know. And now, if I was a 16-year-old boy and some girl with large chest showed up to swim naked, I think that would give her advantage of a second or two.
Yeah, might be distracting.
That's a good point. Oh, did the gun go off? Was I supposed to swim now?
Really? It's good guys, right?
Yeah, well said, Richard. What a distraction. Maybe that was the plan, right?
Who knows?
I don't know.
Who knows?
Hey, real quick, I wanted to mention the World Health Organization came out with a statement last week warning the world that if we didn't take climate change more seriously, that the planet would be in dire straits soon. And they didn't say what soon is, but they implied soon would be in the next few years.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
Well, I'm wondering if starvation is something that they would take seriously.
Because?
Well, if you get rid of fossil fuels,
which is on Joe Biden's agenda,
then what are you powering your combine with to harvest the grains? What are you using to make fertilizer, if not natural gas? What are you using to transport the food products from the farm to the consumer? And so how are people going to feed themselves? So I guess starvation is better. Is that the answer to your question?
That's what they're saying, I guess.
So I guess they want to, you know, they want to have starvation as another issue, or malnourishment, especially in the folks that have less money are going to be the ones who are going to be impacted the hardest.
Right.
Because they're already on the edge.
Right.
So you make that edge, you move that edge a little bit, they're going to fall off the cliff.
I have a question for you, semi-related to this. My wife and I were talking about this last night on our drive down for $4.40 a gallon or whatever from Salt Lake.
But, yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah. But there's such a push for electric cars, all electric cars. There's now a Ford Mustang EV. They call them a Mach-E, I think they're calling
Mayor it. Mayor Pete drives one.
Yeah. With the push, electric vehicles, okay, if you want that kind of car, fine. And I'm not going to criticize someone who wants to have that kind of car. But how do we go straight from combustion engines to electric engines, and we're skipping all these hybrids? It seemed like, I mean, the hybrid was the thing. 2 or 3 years ago, hybrid was the thing.
If we were smart, which in a lot of ways we're not, if we were smart and we cared about CO2 emissions, and for some reason we're supposed to care about that because they've convinced most of the world that carbon dioxide is heating the planet abnormally, which it's not.
It's not,
and it's not provable. And by cutting back the emissions, you're going to mitigate it by a quarter of a percentage over the next 50 years, which you cannot measure in any significant way. But if we were serious about this, mm-hmm. we would get rid of, we would start building nuclear power like there's no tomorrow.
Right.
We would start building nuclear power so we could have a baseload on the electrical grid and get rid of the coal fire plants and the natural gas, which I think natural gas should be out there powering everything.
Right.
Then instead of going EV, we would do AV, but we would also do natural gas powered cars. But then you could probably make some kind of a dent. The problem is we're not serious about it. The problem is we're gonna go like Germany, turn off all the nuclear plants, and when they don't get any sunshine, which kind of happens a lot in Germany,
and
the wind doesn't blow, which kind of happens there too, they have to go to dirty coal, and their coal is very dirty.
Right.
Okay.
Way more.
So, you know, nobody is using their brains in this whole thing. And again, it's another example the emperor has no clothes because everybody is sucked in to this mind virus that says humans are a scourge on the planet. We're supposed to be here. We were either created by God and we're stewards of this garden, or depending on your religious or non-religious, we evolved as part of the evolutionary process, and our intelligence is part of that process. And whatever we create as a part of that intelligence process gives us the power to do what we want to do to flourish on this planet. Now, we're either going to do it or we're not. Are we going to be smart about it? Or are we going to be dumb about it? Are we going to supply natural gas and oil and gasoline and diesel so that humans can flourish and not suffer? Or are we going to cause suffering for our fellow man because we feel bad about what might happen in the next 50 years?
Yeah. It's a PR. It's all about PR, right? I mean,
I don't know what
nuclear
it is.
Energy
sounds like
bad.
It's about power.
Nuclear energy
sounds
bad.
Like it's about personal gain and personal power for the political elite that wants to control the rest of the world.
He's Jack Lancaster. I'm Andy Griffin. Good to be back tomorrow. Police, St. George Police Department is on the air. Jack, thanks for coming in, man.
My pleasure. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Pure energy.
Thank you, man.